every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is 8 o'clock Saturday morning, the Outdoor Living Hour, and this is going to be a special broadcast, the first Saturday of the month. We're joined by the Arizona Farm Bureau, talking farm fresh commodities that are being locally harvested. Second Saturday of the month, we talk trees with certified arborist John Eisenhower. Third Saturday of the month, notes from the nursery with Jay Harper. Fourth Saturday of the month, urban farming with Farmer Greg. Well, every now and then we get this magic fifth Saturday that we want to do something special with, and it gives us an opportunity to bring in different perspective, different people, and, you know, what is more important to our way of life in the desert than our water? And we've got General Manager Ted Cook of Central Arizona Project Supply joining us by phone for today to talk about our water supply. Good morning, Mr. Cook.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you. And we've had CAP on with us in the past. We were very blessed to get a helicopter tour of some of the major parts of the canal system last year. And we've just really enjoyed learning about everything CAP does and the fascinating, fascinating process of delivering water. And starting out with the most interesting fact to me, is CAP is the biggest consumer of electricity in Arizona.
That is true. People think about us, they think about water, but I think a lot of times it's easy to overlook the power side. And because of where our canal starts, at essentially sea level at the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona, and where it ends up, south of Tucson, is 3,000 feet higher. So the water, the canal can take advantage of flowing downhill as much as possible, but 15 times between the river and the end of the line, we have to pump it up and let it start going flowing down again.
And you know what really fascinates me about all that is how all the utilities work together, because what do all the utility companies do to generate electricity? They steam the gas, the water. So it's like you need both. So
there is a water
what comes
electricity
first?
Nexus for sure.
So we're channeling water. We've got 15 times we raise it in elevation. The whole canal length is 336 miles. And how much water volume are we allowed to pump out of the river?
Well, the CAP, first of all, Arizona has a apportionment of 2.8 million acre feet every year from the Colorado River. And that's a share of the 7.5 million acre feet that California, Nevada, and Arizona share. CAP has a called an unquantified contract, which means that we are allowed to take any water that is unused by a senior contractor off of the river. So, in practical terms, what that means is that CAP takes roughly half of Arizona's entitlement off the river, about 1.5 million acre feet, or a little bit less than that.
And that's
about a half a trillion gallons a year.
That's what I wanted to know, a half a trillion gallons
a
year.
Half a trillion gallons, yeah.
And a big part of this CAP system is having that water ready. I mean, I can't tell you a time in my life that I've never turned on a faucet and not had water. You know, there's been times the power's been out, usually not very long, but I've never had an instance where I didn't have water supplied to my house. Now, meeting that demand is pretty tricky, and y'all have and I didn't realize until recently the intricate role Lake Pleasant plays in this water delivery system.
Right. Lake Pleasant, we refer to that as our regulatory storage. Regulatory coming from regulate rather than regulation, meaning that we use the lake to even out our deliveries during the year. So right about now, actually probably about a month ago, this is our peak season for putting water into the lake. So during the fall and the winter, we are pumping off the Colorado River and we're making deliveries, but we're also putting water into the lake. And then right around April time frame, we're still pumping off the river, but we start releasing water from Lake Pleasant as well to meet the higher spring and summer demand. So we're now taking water out of the lake through roughly April through October. And then we reverse course and start putting water back in the lake during the other 6 months.
And the majority of the people y'all deliver water to is past that point.
That's right. That's right. There are deliveries west of Lake Pleasant, but most of our deliveries are south of Lake Pleasant. The canal runs roughly east and west from the river to Lake Pleasant north of Phoenix, and then takes a right turn and begins to go south. And, of course, south of Lake Pleasant, we have Phoenix. We have the other metro area cities. We have the agricultural area in Pinal County, and then on into Pima County and the city of Tucson and the other municipal users there.
And from the time a drop of water is pumped out of Mark Wilmer Station, and let's say that drop makes its way all the way to the end of the canal, how long is that trip?
It is not that long. The water is moving pretty fast. I wish I had, and I should have, an exact number there. It is measured in days rather than weeks or months. Because it's managed pretty tightly. The canal is full all the time, so we carefully set our pumping schedule and our use of Lake Pleasant, along with the orders that we receive from our customers that are updated daily, if necessary, to keep the canal at just the right level so that we have a full canal ready to make the deliveries when all of the customers open up their turnout and want to take delivery. And if you wanted to measure a drop from being pumped off the river to being delivered to the last customer on the canal, that would be just a matter of a few days.
And it's really fascinating that y'all are able to keep that constantly full and moving, because that is the one thing. Every time you drive by the CAP, that water level is almost identical all the time. You never see highs and lows like you do. And keeping that running and full and not overflowing at the end or not running out somewhere in the past is absolutely fascinating that y'all are able to execute that in a dry Arizona environment.
Well, in addition to the 15 pumping stations that I mentioned earlier, there are several dozen what we call check structures. They're basically big gates that come up and down along the canal that allow us to regulate the flow. So there's lots of control points to keep the canal level at a consistent level, turning pumps on and off, raising and lowering gates, things like that helps us to keep that canal full and ready for delivery.
And I know, looking at it from a bigger picture and where the water comes from in the Colorado, that snow melt coming off of the Rocky Mountains this time of year, filling up our reservoirs and dams. What's our snowpack outlook look like for the river?
Well, we've passed the peak snowpack season. Say that fast five times. We've passed
the peak runoff season.
This year, we had an average snowfall, which we were happy to see, because last year was a really good year. This year was an average year, so we'll take average. And we've had some years that have been pretty lousy, but because it has been very dry in the upper Colorado River Basin this spring so far, we're only going to get about a 60% of normal runoff into Lake Powell. It's not just an open channel from the Colorado River, because there's two big reservoirs, Lake Powell and Lake Mead, that are in between. And the way that those two reservoirs operate, there's a fixed quantity that's determined every year based on some pretty complicated rules that determines what will be released out of Lake Powell into Lake Mead. So even though a single year may be a really great year or a really lousy year, there's a pretty consistent flow coming from the upper basin Lake Powell into Lake Mead. So we will get this year a normal release out of Lake Powell. That's after several years of a little bit more than normal release out of Lake Powell. But Lake Mead is staying pretty consistent, and that's the reason for those reservoirs, is to keep the flow in the river pretty consistent from year to year, despite what's going on hydrologically with snowfall.
It's such a fascinating, the history of the canal system and how the state's allocation and the court battles that went on to establish all of this. And thinking and looking at it, y'all are at 35-year anniversary of completion of the canal because, you know, it still took how many years to build?
Well, approximately 20, 25 years to build from beginning to end. Let's see, I think the ground was broken in 1973 and the canal was declared substantially complete in 1995, so roughly 20 years.
That's why the name, they've got Project in their name, Central Arizona Project. That's a project, and the amount of preventative maintenance that y'all put into it as well is phenomenal. You know, that's one thing that's really impressed me in learning about our Arizona utilities is the amount of redundancies and backups that happen because, you know, that power and that water supply is extremely critical to our quality of life here, especially as we move into the summer months. I mean, y'all recognize the important role you have and the amount of backups you have to make sure you can meet that is extremely impressive, and it really shows you just how well and sustainable our lifestyle is here because of our utilities. We've got General Manager Ted Cook of Central Arizona Project Canal on the line with us. We've got another segment with him coming up after this. We're talking about Arizona's water supply and CAP's role in doing that and delivering water from the snow melt-off of the Rockies, 336 miles from the pumping station at Mark Wilmer down into Tucson, Arizona. 336-mile canal that supplies water to Arizona.